Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the V Show, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Bobby V.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Monday edition of the V Show, ESPN 680, 105.7. Really, really busy and eventful weekend in the world of sports. And it's weird contrast. Very weird contrast. It's amazing how many similarities, so many contrasts. Here's what I mean. You got, I don't know, the playoff series in the hockey and basketball have been hugely disappointing, the finals. There's no drama whatsoever, but they have followed the exact same pattern, which is the team that's going to win has won the first three games. Then the fourth game, on the road, they just, you know, let's not kid ourselves. The motivation is not nearly as much for them as it is for the team that's trying to keep from being swept. So they put record-setting wins. It's a team that's lost three straight games, and they have record-setting wins. The Edmonton Oilers in hockey in the first three games scored two goals, I think, was it? Three? No, they scored that second. The third game, they had a flurry at the end. Four goals in three games. But basically, they played two whole games and 80% of the next game and only had scored two goals. They won game four 8-1. It's like that's the basketball equivalent of 100, scored about 170 points.
I took a nap on Saturday and I kind of like woke up to the start of the third period and I was like, oh man, did I miss anything? Oh, it's 6-1. I didn't really miss anything at
8-1.
All.
8-1. Then Dallas is getting their rear ends handed to them. And so in game four, they come out and have the fourth largest winning margin in the history of the NBA Finals.
I think the Celtics had the lowest points in a first half under Mazzulla ever.
I mean,
with like 26.
Anybody who doesn't think motivation is a big deal at the professional level is crazy. So you got crappy major finishes in those sports, and then an unbelievably great finish in golf, which was incredible. And you have to feel, I mean, the storylines there are off the charts, because Rory has at one point a 2-stroke lead. Looks like he's finally going to break that long drought of, you know, winless majors. And he basically bogeys three of the last four holes, misses three relatively short putts, pretty short putts. And then DeChambeau, and the weird, and there's so many layers to this. He had just got through Rory telling the media for the whole week, you have to play boring golf to win. Boring golf, okay? Which is true, because the U.S. Open is kind of like college football in that you can't play your way in. You play your way out. You know, other events you can get hot and like the Masters, even Jack's last Masters where he went crazy on the back nine, struck all those birdies together. It doesn't happen in the U.S. Open. I mean, Cantlay was, what, 5-under the first day, and the winning score was 6-under. Give you an idea. So the last 3 days, nobody was really doing anything with par. So Rory played the first three rounds on the 18th hole, hitting a 3-wood off the tee. He decides on the last day to hit a driver for some inexplicable reason. And here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, cookie construction going on on the V Show here. That sounded like it was coming through the wall. Good Lord.
I'm waiting for the day that they're like, yeah, no, they told us the window will be good here. And we'll be like,
no, that's supposed to be on the other side. So, oh, sorry about that. Hey, fellas, plug it back up. Yeah, it's incredible. It is right. It's amazing. But nonetheless, they know the reputation. Like, we were told by the radio station to do all the construction between noon and 3. I don't know why, but they said anything that they're supposed to be done during that time. So anyway, that's where
did you see the video of Rory peeling out?
Oh, no, I didn't.
It's
but
the type of driving that ruins an $80 pair of pants. I'm telling you that right now.
It's a good line.
Inexcusable.
I read about it, but, I mean, that's going to be a hard one to live with because if the other guy, you know, if he comes down and DeChambeau makes 3 birdies in the last 4 holes or something, you go, hey, guy does that in the U.S. Open. Congratulations, buddy. Let me go shake your hand. But he bogeyed 3 of the last 4 holes, defied his own strategy. Which is, I hate to say it, that's the definition of a choke. That's a choke. I don't use that word much because anytime a guy who we think is going to win or we bet on doesn't win, we say, oh, he choked. And that's not the case. It's a very definite way of losing. It's where you don't trust your stuff, to use a baseball term, as a pitcher. You don't trust what you go away from what you normally do. And that's what he did. He first 3 rounds, he hits 3 wood. This day, he hits driver and hits it sideways and winds up having to just wedge it back out to the fairway, basically, hits it on the green and misses another short putt. And so he gets a bogey. 3 bogeys in the last 4 holes, and that one is one where that's the only way to look at it is he choked. Because, again, it's not just because he didn't get the job done, it's because he went against his own philosophy. You don't trust that you're good enough. The moment overwhelms you. And that's unusual. But I guess if you've, you know, been under the spotlight like he has and he's been 10 years without a major, maybe that's what you do. But I don't know what in the world would have made him go away from his own strategy. You got to just trust your stuff. And he didn't. DeChambeau hit, he called it the best shot of his life, which was rather remarkable. At that point, when he hit his drive wackily also, but then he hit it into a bunker, which was probably the only way he could get out and give himself a chance. And out of the bunker, I'm sure he's thinking, well, if I can get up and down, I'll win. But I'm sure the big thing is, let's get on. If we 2-putt, we're in a playoff. And instead, he called it. I didn't call it. The shot of his life, then makes the 4-footer and wins.
Did you see the guy on the Golf Channel? I think Johnson Wagner. He recreated it. Like he tried
to do it himself.
He goes, like, yeah, he starts it off and he's like, all right, this is how Bryson did it. He had a 50 degree here. We're 50 yards out. First shot, he like nails over the green.
Thank you. That's Bryson.
Appreciate it.
All that post tournaments, yeah. The champagne does give you gas.
And then, yeah, right. And then after he shoots it over the green, Bryson pops up like on a cart with like the trophy and like Johnson Wagner's like, whoa, hey, man.
Did he really?
And then he goes like, all right. And he goes like, oh, I see what you're trying to do here. And then Bryson's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So you want to like, I don't know. He was like,
gave him
a little tip. Next shot in front of Bryson and on live television, chips it on 2 feet away
really?
From the hole. 2 feet away.
Wow.
And then all the responses were, somehow Rory would bogey this.
Oh, and it was perfect. See, that's what I mean. That poor guy, that's not fair. He gave himself a chance to win, but just a bad decision. And then he missed some short putts. But how about Bryson also? I mean, that's why it's a great story, because he went from a wrestling heel to the ultimate face. He reconciled himself to the fact that while it's sexy to hit the ball 390 yards every hole, it's not the best way to win. And so he said, you know, I don't really want to play where I have to hit 6-iron off 14 tees, but if that's what it takes, that's what I'm going to do. And that's what he did. That's a great commitment to getting the job done. And then the other thing is, did you see he said his goal was to let everybody touch the trophy? Did you see that?
I did not.
He did. He took the trophy to the gallery and he's holding it. And people are coming by. It's like putting hands on, you know, in faith healing.
They're not going to win the U.S. Open though now, right? Isn't that the thing? Isn't that a thing where you like you don't touch the U.S. Open trophy before you win it?
Well, he won it, and so he let everybody touch it. So these people will never win it because they've already touched it, but I'm pretty
sure
this
is like his second time.
Yeah,
right?
This is second.
He's awesome.
So he's turned into a great story. A great, great story.
Do you think his old favorite commercial was the Greg Maddux, like Tom Glavin or John Smoltz, Chicks Dig the Long Ball?
Yeah, must be, because he certainly loved hitting it 10,000 miles, but he's got his weight down so he could be more, you know, more controlled, not just sheer bulk. I tip my hat to the guy. I tip my hat to the fact that he's committed. See, that's what I mean. Almost to the point where it was a detriment. You got to have that fine line. technique and feel. If you're just all about technique, you're going to have a hard time because at some point you're going to have to create a shot. You know, Seve Ballesteros was the master at that. He'd look at something. It's okay. Well, if I hit it under that tree and bounce it off that hill, it was like a game of horse for golf, you know. Under the tree, over the hill, off the yard sign, bounce it onto the green, make a putt. You know, and then there's this guy who has absolutely broken down the golf swing ridiculously where he's got – I still can't get over the fact his clubs are made with a 3D printer. That's amazing to me. That's astounding. And he got permission to do it. They're legal. They're all the same length. You all know that. But, I mean, so you got to have a fine line between technique and feel. And now he's getting a little bit more for the sense of the feel, and he's going to be scary. And more importantly, he's more likable. Dude is likable. It was a day of feel-good stories, and then Rory went and wrecked it. Because, you know, he had a big falling out at the Ryder Cup with Patrick Cantlay, who I guess is not the easiest guy sometimes. I don't know if you know about that. Patrick Cantlay's caddy is Joe LaCava, who was Tiger's caddy early in his career. And on the first tee of this, since they were paired up again, he went out and he was like, let's have a good day. And Cantlay fist bumped him and he went and shook hands with Joe because they had a little thing at the Ryder Cup where they were mad. I guess Rory was trying to control the crowd so the U.S. players could make putt. And they felt they didn't get the same courtesy in return when he was trying to putt with his partner. You know, Ryder Cup's a different animal, man. Those guys are, you know, they're certainly not hitting each other. So, but they made peace. They shook hands. They had a great day. It was great golf. That's absolutely unbelievable.
It's so annoying.
It's incredibly annoying. I'm half tempted to go do it via the Lucy app in the production studio. I mean, because at least it'll be quiet. I mean, because This is nuts over there. Those cookies had better be damn good is all I know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's unbelievable. So you had a great major championship in golf. Not such good Stanley Cup final or NBA final, which is disappointing. You had incredible drama in the College World Series. I mean, not just the Kentucky game. And how about that? That's the guy who comes on our show. Nicholson was the kid, the father. He's the guy that hit the game-tying home run in the bottom of the ninth. He had three hits
in
the game.
I knew that name sounded familiar.
He hit the game-tying home run in the bottom of the ninth, then they win it in the tenth. And he was the young man that came. He was the first baseman. His father came on the show. His father runs, for lack of a better word, Kentucky Downs. And so he was a great guest, and we talked to him Friday. And then his son winds up being a hero, not the only hero, because he didn't hit the game-winning home run, the walk-off, but he hit the one in the ninth to tie it.
We talk about the mood swing of the 10th inning, though?
Oh, my God.
Guys on first. I think it's a 1-2 count, throw, ball, but they get the guy out. First off, that catcher's arm, I think I saw a tweet right away. That's a big lever arm. Oh, my God, dude, he has a hose. So then I was like, oh, all momentum's going to the Wolfpack. Let's go. Next pitch, and it's gone. I mean, I was like, oh, wow.
Well, and
that was quick.
How about the Florida game? Florida, down by a run. I don't think it was the bottom of the night. I think it was the top of the night. But ninth inning, anyway. Guy hits one that would be a home run that would give the Gators the lead. The guy robs the home run in the ninth inning. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that. We're going to try and get Sean Kelly on. He's the play-by-play boys for Florida. But you talk about an emotion swing. Here's a guy on first, looks like it's going to be the game-winning home run. Guy goes, runs, robs him, and they wind up losing. I'll tell you, college baseball is pretty entertaining. That event is tremendously entertaining, whether you have a rooting interest or not. That's just, the players are so skilled, and the format is great. The double elimination in two groups of four, and then they best of three championship. Very, very perfect setup there. So that was damned entertaining. So we had good stuff going on there. Texas says, are you going to announce the winning of the contest? I actually will announce the winner. I think the guy knows. I think we notified him, but just to be sure. The one guy in our Triple Crown contest, who's the only guy in our fantasy Triple Crown race who identified affirmed as the winner, and he did win it. So that was impressive. So we got a nice prize pack for him. And then I'm going through all of the golf picks. It's taken me a little longer than usual because most everybody had all three of their players make the cut. I thought we were going to have a whole bunch I could eliminate quickly because I thought Scheffler was going to miss the cut, and almost everybody had him on their entry. So, but because that makes it easier if you get, making a number up 100 entries and you can eliminate. When I go through it, this guy missed the cut, this guy missed the cut, and you go through it, and now you only got to do scores for, you know, maybe 20 of them. This one, like everybody, almost everybody had all their players make the cut. So we're going to have to we're going to have to take a little bit more time. But I promise you I'll have it tomorrow. It's not going to take that much time. I'll do it tomorrow. So we'll announce the golf winner tomorrow. We'll double check, make sure the fantasy thoroughbred guy knows he won, and we'll send him his prize for picking affirmed in that. And we'll see if there's an NBA champion crowned. Uh-oh, a lot of movement going on in there. Tulio's leaving? Where's he going? Is he just going to the bathroom? Got the homeless guy behind the board. Do you guys, how do you know how to work this stuff? They don't have this electronic equipment like on the street. That's pretty impressive that you can figure all this out. It's very strong.
A quick learner.
Yeah, I guess so. Very nice. Tulio, where the hell are you going? Where's he going? I need an answer. Oh, all right. Go to the bathroom, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Texter, believe me, it's not like we don't hear that. I apologize to you. They are putting in next to us, used to be an ice cream store. Now they are putting in a cookie store, Insomnia Cookies. And I believe they're instructed to only do the heavy drilling and stuff between noon and 3. So it keeps with the spirit of how we do things at the station. They only come and do repair work during my show. People walk in and out. But this is this is like doing it in a dentist chair. I don't know what that guy's drilling, but I had no idea. I'll tell you, they must not be thinking about, well, let's do this as a trial. They're moving in because it's not like, hey, we just carry some ovens in, plug them in, and off we go. They are doing some serious drilling there. Unbelievable.
This is the loudest I've heard it.
Oh, it's the worst. Are you doing your show from the Goodyear blimp? Oh, that's true. That is the noise, I guess, the blimp makes. That you know, that thing that's blowing the rotors around or what the hell it is. So anyway, so we got that going on. Let me go see if I can get organized here. Texas says, I don't live or work anywhere near your studio, but you best believe after all this construction, I'm checking those cookies out next door. I agree. This may be the best commercial. You know, I wouldn't doubt that they're not actually building anything. This is a marketing ploy. It's like, all right, listen, noon to 3, we'll get in there. You bring a jackhammer and just put something down on the ground and make the noise for the 3 hours and do it every day. And then people will say, like this guy, I got to go check these cookies out.
That must be the best build up for a cookie store.
Oh, it really is. I mean,
like free advertising for them.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
You got a cookie you're looking forward to, Bob, to try?
Do I what now?
Is there a cookie that you're looking forward to
try? I am, you know, so easily predictable, but honest to God, when it comes to cookies, it's chocolate chip cookies, and then everything else is it's kind of like in the Secretariat Belmont. That's where all the other cookies are. They're 31 lengths down the track. And I don't dislike them, but no, a good chocolate chip cookie is.
I love a peanut butter or chocolate chip.
Okay. And I'm weird in that way. I don't hate peanut butter, but I don't love it. There are other people like you that you put peanut butter on laundry and they'll eat it. It's fantastic.
See, it works well for the homeless man, too.
Well,
that's
true.
A while, so.
That's a good point. You know, you can live, what is it? What is it, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich has got enough nutrients to sustain you for a whole day or 2 days or something like that. So, because I know that we used to have somebody that was their charity, that was their mission, for lack of a better word. We would go, our church, we'd make like 500 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and they would go and distribute them. You might have gotten one in your days living out on the street there. I don't know. So, yeah, probably helps you. They're trying to keep you all awake. I don't know. I'm not getting sleepy. It's really annoying. It sounds like Nikki is watching Dunkirk. Max. Guns of Navarone. Guns of Navarone playing in the background. It's really annoying. I apologize. Seriously, I may go. I'm going to see if I can get to. I don't have a microphone. I'd have to get a microphone, though. See if I can go do it from the production studio over there. I don't know. How much coffee did you guys drink? It's not us! It's not us! Everyone knows construction equipment works best between 12 and 3. Well, these guys certainly are married to that. This is the worst we've had so far. Oh, my Lord. Insomnia Cookie Snickerdoodle is the favorite. Try Snickerdoodles.
Whatever they're doing, it is right on that wall.
I mean, it's literally...
This is insane.
I feel like I'm going to... You know, when you live in an apartment, you go bang on the wall. Hey, you know, hello! Trying to sleep in here. Oh, my God. That's really unbearable. We got to figure out something. We'll take a break and see if we can figure out some alternative here. So you go to commercial, and I'll figure something out. Hope.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
That's why you should write us and try and get tickets to be a member of the studio audience, because if you don't get the membership of the studio audience, you don't get to indulge in the excitement, what I call the show in the cracks, because you would not believe. First of all, tip of the hat to the VP, Drew Diener. If radio ever says, you know what, I've had enough of this crap, he should get a job as a NASCAR pit crew guy, because that was impressive. In the commercial break, albeit a bit longer commercial break than usual, he managed to get a bunch of equipment he had to get out of his car, I guess, brought it in here. We moved away from the studio where they're basically building an entire cookie store, literally sharing a wall with us. And so it sounded, I mean, we put up with some bumps and hammering and stuff, but this was obnoxiously off the charts. It was just, so he managed to get that equipment. We went to the 93.9 studios, which is on the other side of our real estate over here. And so we got away from them, so I don't think you can hear them anymore, at least I hope not, and set this whole thing up. And it always is, you know, when you're not planning on doing this, it comes with a whole bunch of peril. So, like, you have to find an Ethernet connection. There was an Ethernet cable there that was not really connected to anything, so we tried that. That was counterproductive. He had to go.
You just missed it. This guy's really disappointed. He looked in the studio real quick, and he was like, where's Bobby V?
We're not there anymore. There. Go over here tonight. Go to the quiet side of the studio over here. And so I appreciate Drew doing that, because that was, he was running. It's only about 900 degrees too, so he was racing down, got the stuff, brought it in, getting on the ground, and trying to find the cable that actually works. We found an Ethernet cable and got the whole thing hooked up, and here we are. And it's so nice and quiet in here now. It's fantastic. I mean, it's really, you don't realize what noise does to you until it like shuts off, until it goes away. You know, I mean, like, if you've ever been around something in a building or at work and there's just a noise, a constant something, whatever it might be, a fan that's really loud, a blower, and then all of a sudden it gets turned off. It's like sitting in a whirlpool. So, yeah, fantastic. Just very, very excited about that in terms of now getting a little bit of quiet in here. This is something that, that they're talking about on TV, on ESPN, and doing it at length, because with good reason, I have to tell you, because this is the NFL being what it is, the way we consume, and that's how you refer to it now, consume sports, and the popularity of the NFL, this is something that is going to impact many people, or could very well. The NFL is the middle of a 3-week trial to determine whether it allowed DirecTV from 2012 to 2022 to sell the broadcasts of out-of-market games via its Sunday ticket package at inflated rates. It's a class action lawsuit, which means you might be one of the people who are going to get a check for doing nothing. I just got one the other day. Jamie and I both got one. Neither one of us had any idea what it's for. And it's always like $14. I think mine was $14. His was $7. But that's nice. So that was good. Takes care of a trip to McDonald's. This is a class action lawsuit representing over 2.5 million customers, including individuals and bar owners, that says the NFL violated antitrust laws by restricting competition in an effort to protect its lucrative deals with Fox and CBS for Sunday afternoon games. It's seeking, make sure you hear it's with a B, not an M, $7.1 billion in damages, which, if they're found liable, the jury and the judge, whoever, I guess, inflicts the penalty, the sentencing phase, could be tripled to $21 billion. DirecTV was the exclusive home of the NFL Sunday Ticket from 1994 until 2022. YouTube TV took it over in 2023. It costs an additional $349 a season above the YouTube TV rates, which are about $73 a month. So you'd have to pay about another $350 for this. The plaintiffs say, if you're saying, well, I don't understand what the hell the lawsuit means. Well, I got around to say, I didn't either. But when you're talking about $21 billion, probably a good idea to understand it. The NFL made the cost of Sunday Ticket artificially high in order to cash in on desperate, hardcore fans willing to pay whatever to see their favorite team out of market game, as well as bars that needed to attract customers. But in doing so, the league priced out most fans, thus forcing them to watch whatever game was on local television. That offered protection for the NFL's local broadcasting deals with Fox and CBS, who pay the league billions. Additionally, by making Sunday Ticket, I'm reading this, by the way, as you can't tell, but when you're doing things that are based on lawsuits, you want to make sure you're getting the you know, exactly what's at stake completely accurate. So I don't want to be paraphrasing this and give you something wrong, especially because you want to know what does this mean going forward. By making Sunday Ticket an exclusive offering of DirecTV, which has just 13 million subscribers and required the installation of a satellite dish rather than a far more available basic cable or even streaming option, they purposely limited the number of potential customers. So they did it. Wasn't not an accident. They did it on purpose. The NFL has argued it was a premium service, and thus it came at a premium price. The case is about choice, the representative for the NFL said. This is a valuable premium product. Think about all the choices available to fans. We want as many people as possible to watch the free broadcasts. Additionally, the league has argued at different times over the 9 years of this suit. This has been going on, by the way, through the legal process almost a whole decade, since 2015. It's protected under antitrust exemptions, meaning if it did what it's accused of doing, well, too bad. It's allowed to do it. They have gotten away with so much crap over the years with the antitrust exemption. It's unbelievable. But if the league loses this trial, they're expected to appeal it all the way to the Supreme Court. The money is enormous, even for a sports league that generated $18.6 billion in revenue in 2022. Their team owners are among the wealthiest people in the world. Presumably, customers might get some money back. Yeah, you'll get that $14 check like I got. Perhaps more notable, though, is whether this, and this is where, this is the most, you know, I don't mean to bury the lead. This is the most telling part of it. Because the lawsuit could possibly change the way out-of-market games are offered to consumers, not to mention the price. Whether legal or not, the current system is cumbersome, lacks choice, and cost efficiency for many fans. What do I mean? Well, as an example, Apple TV proposed making the Sunday Ticket part of its offerings at no additional charge. According to CourthouseNews.com, an email presented into evidence said that ESPN wanted to charge just $70 for the entire season. Now, keep in mind, as I told you earlier, Sunday Ticket is $349, YouTube TV rather, $349 in addition to the regular $72.99 that you have to pay per month. The NFL balked at both of those proposals. While other sports leagues, the NBA has a league pass, the NHL has Center Ice, for example, they're available via multiple providers. The NFL preferred to make DirecTV and later YouTube TV the exclusive provider and thus limit the number of fans who used it. We're not. That's unbelievable. You can be so popular, you can deliberately try and restrict your content to your fans, which is what's going on. We're not looking to get lots of people, Robert Kraft said. We want to keep it as a premium offering. How much is enough, boys? How much is enough? It's unbelievable. I don't get it. I did not know. I'm proud of my company. ESPN offered to carry Sunday Ticket for $70 total instead of the $350. That, my friends, is 20% if you're scoring at home. 20%. They're willing to take 80% off the price and give it to fans. But the NFL said, no, sir, we can do what we want to. So anyway, there's that. Hey, tomorrow we're supposed to have, unless the drilling precludes that, we're supposed to have Coach Pat Kelsey join us. Looking forward to talking with him. Also, you all know that, because it would happen during our show on Friday, the U.S. team's last game scheduled in the World Cup, in the T20 World Cup, was rained out, and but that means each team gets 1 point, essentially. It's 2 points for a win, 1 point for a tie. There's hardly ever a tie, but 1 point for a rained-out game. They don't have the time to make up the rained-out games. The games take too long, and it's such a tight schedule. So if it's rained out, the term they use, which strikes me as funny, is abandoned. I envision, like, you know, just equipment strewn all over the field. What happened? We abandoned. Abandoned ship. But that's how it scored. And so the U.S. had two wins and an abandoned game or a tie. So they got 5 points, which was good for second place. And therefore, they qualified. It was the top two in each of the four groups make it to the, they call it the Super Eight. And now it's not a single. It's still not a knockout yet. You get divided into. It's kind of like the baseball. They get divided into two 4-team groups. You play a round robin in your group of three, and then the top two make it. And then it's a knockout. Then it's a semifinals. It's a two semifinal games, and then a championship game. But why is that significant to the people who care about it? And I do. I've enjoyed the hell out of this event. Is the U.S. only got into the event this year because we were one of the host countries. The U.S. and the West Indies were the host countries. That's the only reason they got in. You have to qualify. And I don't even know if they've ever qualified before. I don't think they have, to be honest with you. So this is absolutely tall cotton for them. But by getting into the Super 8, they automatically qualify for the next World Cup, which is going to be in 2 years, 2 years' time. I think it's in India and Bangladesh. I'm not sure, but it's irrelevant. We're in it. We're in. So that was the other significant thing. And our next match now, it gets rather tough. We're in with three of the absolute Duke, Kentucky, Louisville, North Carolina of the cricket world. Our group of four is England, West Indies, and South Africa. Hello. They open with South Africa on Wednesday, 10:30. Looking forward to that. They're playing in Antigua. And England plays the West Indies in St. Lucia. That is those two matches on Wednesday. The other side, the other two essentially quarterfinal games, Afghanistan and India, those are two powerhouses, and Australia and Bangladesh. So these are the blue bloods of the sport. I mean, so they have taken their place at the big boy table. It would be great if they could just get a win. And if, amazingly, they could make their way into the knockout semifinals, that'd be remarkable. But even this is amazing. By getting to the Super 8, they've played their way into the World Cup in 2 years' time. So very, very damned entertaining. It's so great when, you know, we are so dialed into college basketball and the sports we care about. You know, you can read any newspaper, like anywhere in the world, or website, since most people are consuming their news now. The cricket cover, the cricket reporters in Pakistan are losing their minds. They didn't make it. They didn't make it to the Super 8. So they are, they made it to the last two. I think they lost in the semifinals, and they lost in the finals, and they have won it a number of times. This year, they didn't make it out of the first round. They didn't make it out of the round-robin play. So they are losing their minds. It's just an interesting reading. Some of it I don't even understand. They're criticizing stuff like, I didn't even know that was a thing you'd criticize. I guess some of the fields, I'm using American terms. Excuse me, because, I mean, just easier. You know, the pitch, the wicket, whatever term you want to use, the fields. That's what it comes down to. For example, in New York, they basically built this stadium in 100 days. So they called it a drop-in stadium because the grass was literally dropped in. And in order to make sure the whole thing wasn't dead, it's like if you've ever grown sod, you got to make sure it's, you know, thick and it really takes root. Well, when you do that, it means that the grass is slow. And if the grass is slow, it makes it so it's hard to score, because the ball doesn't travel very far. The guys can't run the risk of running and getting thrown out. You don't get the ball to the boundary for fours, which are boundaries. You hit the ball to the boundary, not on a fly, it's four. If you hit it over on a fly, it's six. But it doesn't affect sixes, but it affected all the other ones. And so they were low-scoring games, and people had to change their strategy of who you bowled, who you pitched with, whether you were going to throw fast pitchers or spin pitchers. It's fascinating to read. Very, very interesting. And then the guy was livid that he said, "How could you? I got to admit they were right. How could you schedule this event in June in Florida, which is it rains every 20 seconds?" Oh, and not only that, I didn't know this. This is true. And he said, "We have so much money in this sport." I forget the player who was talking, but he's right. He said, "We have so much money in this sport, and they don't have enough money to cover the whole field. They don't have tarps that cover the whole field. So, like one of the matches in Florida, it had stopped raining, but the outfield, which is just what it sounds like, the area outside where the bowler is, you know, pitching and the batter's hitting, that's covered. They cover that. But the outfield is not covered. So, and they test, and if it's so wet, they don't play. It's canceled for wet grounds." He said, "How in the world could you not have the money to run a tarp over the whole field?" It's hard to argue that. I mean, that's the thing. It is. I know we don't care much about it in this country, but it is an immensely lucrative sport. I mean, it's hard to describe how much money is involved in cricket around the world. And this is their event, so I got to admit that was a little bit goofy, to say the least. So We'll try and get some texts in here. I'm over in the different studio. As I said, we moved away from the construction site that we were at moments ago. So I don't have text line up in front of me, but I'll see if I can access it in here so we can.
I got a good one for you.
All right. Go ahead, Tulio.
I haven't heard that much drilling since the 20-year-old couple moved into the apartment next door.
Oh, hello. There yowza. We go. Hey, ding, ding. Oh, woo. How you doing? Ding, ding. Whoa. Caitlin Clark is in the news again, and Angel Reese, I do not like particularly.
All right. I got another one, though.
She got called for, well, let me finish the story first. She got called for a flagrant foul, and she said, I guess some people get a special whistle. Yeah, never on you, though, right? It's unbelievable. It's just, I don't know, they're very short-sighted. And she played well. She played really well the other day. Caitlin had, I think, 28 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, or 9 rebounds, 8 assists or something. They just want to tear her the hell down, and not understanding that, you know, for every time she makes a dollar, they'll wind up making 15 cents. But nope, I love competition. That seems particularly catty going on there. Anyway, what do you got for us? What
didn't make it out of the first round? Question mark. Cricket coaching opening at Arkansas by chance?
Yeah, I don't. He should. Cal should send the resume. He might be able to step into that job. Did not get out of the quality. That's a good. You know what? That's a good analogy. That is a very good analogy. They expect to win the championship. But they understand that there's a part of them that's smart enough to know that they're not going to win the championship every year, but not to get out of the round robin stage. Oh dear God! Yeah. So that could be an opening there. So we'll see. See how it plays out for Pakistan. Anyway, what else? Oh, but that's, you know, if you follow baseball, sad news. Not sad like somebody died or anything, but Mookie Betts, who is a first of all, I really like the guy. I don't know him, but watching him be interviewed and the way he carries himself, and he's a great bowler. He's a little bit of everything. Now they moved him to shortstop after being in the outfield for so long. He broke his left hand, got hit by a pitch in a game Sunday against the Royals, and he's going to be out for a while. 97, basically a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, fell to the ground, said he's going to miss some time. Does not require surgery, but your left hand, you got a field. That's your, you know, the back of your hand facing the pitcher when you're a right-hand batter. It's going to be he's batting .304, ninth in the league, fourth in on-base percentage, fifth in hits. He's a terrific player, and he's going to be out for a while. I mean, we'll see. They go from Mookie Betts to Miguel Rojas, no disrespect, and Kike Hernandez. That's a not insignificant drop-off there, so we'll see. By the way, you know, Nick's not here, so I won't put you on the spot, Tulio, but
Look in the producer room. I think he's in there.
Oh, well, he needs to get his butt in here. I don't know if he'd have a mic connected here because we've got a makeshift thing we're doing here. But if ever there was a day to sing the Mets theme song, today's the day. Because ever since Nick loves to point to the fact that they had Grimace throw out the first pitch. And I guess since Grimace has thrown out the first pitch, they've won 3 games in a row. But not 5 games? No, not since Grimace. It's since Grimace? All right, they've won 5 games in a row. But it's since Francisco Lindor called a players-only meeting when he read him the Riot Act. They're 11-3 since then. And unfortunately, they dug such a ridiculously big hole for themselves that I'm not sure they're going to be able to dig out of it. They're not in last place anymore, but that's because the Miami Marlins AAA team is in last place. They're 23-48. What a bizarre... What a bizarre franchise. I mean, you think about it, like the Mets have, you know, they're so desperate. They won the championships since the 80s. They've only won 2 in the history. The Marlins win 2, have fire sales both times, get rid of all their players. They can't draw any fans at the stadium. It's a bizarre franchise.
They even tried a fish tank behind home plate, and then they're like, ah, this isn't even a good selling point. I don't know what we're doing here.
And not only are they losing, I mean, they are, like, the Mets are in 4th place in that division, but their run differential is minus 18, which is not atrocious. I mean, it's better than the St. Louis Cardinals, who are in 2nd place in the Central at 35-35. Miami's run differential is minus 116. That is the worst in the National League, and it might be the worst. No, you know who the only team that's worst? Would you like to guess? Let's get Rick Bozich on the line. He'd know. The Chicago Palehose, the White Sox, -155. That is...
Wow.
Yeah. You know, that's a fun thing to do. That's, you know, I'm always talking about my...
They should bring back Ozzie Guillen. I'm just saying. I've been on board bringing that guy back to the league.
He was a I don't know the word, you know, mad scientist kind of genius, because I had some friends who cut when I was doing the national show. That was their beat. Their job was to cover the White Sox on a daily basis. And, you know, he was always coming out with these bizarre things he'd say. And I would say, why does he? He said, you don't understand. He is sly like a fox. He will do that. You'll go, as always, you just want to start checking with the manager. So you walk by and he'd be sitting in the dugout and he'd say, hey, how you doing, Tom? You know, and you'd sit down. He'd say, by the way, have you heard about it? And he'd say something. You go, what? And then he would talk about it. And it would be something that was so out of left field, no pun intended, that he talked for, and you couldn't walk away. It was like potato chips. You just had to keep, you had to stay there. And so you'd finish, and then you'd realize, oh, all the time is up for the pregame, and you never went and got the talk with the player in the locker room that you wanted to, because that was the real story and the controversy. His players never got caught, and they recognized it, so they loved him. He was like a human shield for them, and coming up with stuff like every day that was just bizarro, but they never, you know, the players never got caught in the scrutiny because he was always holding court with his bizarre takes on the world.
With him and Lou Piniella in Chicago at the same time, it was so funny to watch because those two were just...
That's a good
animals
point.
On the, like, umpires.
It's a good analogy. Yeah, absolutely. And the Cubs suck also. Terrible to be a baseball fan in Chicago. Right?
Yeah.
Good Lord. Cubs are not nearly as bad. They're 34-38. They're only 8.5 games out of first place, but they are in last place in that division. And the White Sox are awful. The Reds, 34-37, but they have a +13 run differential. If that means if they could keep playing at the level they are, that record should go up. There's only one team over 500 in that division. That's Milwaukee at 42-29. But if you take a look, for example, at the wild card in the National League, the Reds are only a game out of a wild card spot. They're a game out. So they're still playing for some postseason. And the Mets are only a game and a half out. So there's really only two teams in the National League that are out of postseason play, basically, and that's Colorado and Miami. So everybody else is still having a chance. So it's quiet in there. Figures, because we went through all that work. You should, Diener was unbelievable. You should have seen it on Sirius. The only thing missing was the guy with the gas can on his shoulder. You know, running in here, that's about the only thing missing. It was an impressive display of getting us on the air here. So let me go see what we'll do. I may be back in here. You know, maybe we'll leave this set up in here, and then if I'll come back in that studio, because I don't have access to the text in there, and I can't see your handsome face, Tulio, and Nick's got no way to get on the air in here because we don't have a microphone. So maybe we'll move back in there, and if they start drilling again, we'll swear, hit the dump button, and then run back in here. Maybe that'll be a plan. What about that? How's that for a plan?
That's a good plan.
All right, brother. All right, so take a top-of-the-hour break, and then we'll roll on a bizarre Monday on ESPN 680 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.